The first lesson is from Psalm 89. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David. I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exult in your name all day long and extol your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Word of God, word of life. The second lesson is from Romans 6. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have begun obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity into greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Word of God, word of life. Please stand for the gospel.
The gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Wasn't that a nice little three-verse gospel reading? Don't you wish I was preaching on that? I do. I do. It's lovely. It's a nice little three-verse passage on welcome, but instead God kept dragging me back to that second reading from Romans. Ugh, I know, right, Kelsey? Which is super annoying because the way Paul writes kind of makes my head spin around whenever I read it, because Paul's training in classical rhetoric made him really persuasive as a speaker and as a writer in his time and place, but I think for the modern ear, modern readers, I would call his style of writing a bit more confusing than clarifying. But Paul's theology is extremely important. It's everywhere in Lutheranism. It's foundational, which I guess is why this passage wouldn't leave me alone. Plus, it seemed appropriate for the 4th of July weekend because this weekend, and man, last week, and I'm sure next week, right? Boom, boom, boom. The country is celebrating with never-ending fireworks. And we're celebrating and lifting up freedom. Our freedom as Americans, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to vote, all of that wonderful stuff that comes with democracy. And in our Romans reading, Paul also lifts up freedom, but in a very different way. Paul writes about a larger freedom, freedom that is given to us by God. Freedom that is given to us regardless of our nationality, regardless of the political powers that be, or any oppressive forces of this world. So no matter what's going on in our country, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter where we find ourselves, or under what political regime or political powers we might find ourselves living, regardless of any of that, Paul writes that we each have freedom given to us by Christ. Freedom from death and freedom from sin. Now, Paul isn't using that word sin to describe some list of immoral behavior. He's talking about sin in this larger sense as a powerful force, this driving force in our lives. Paul understands sin to be a driving force of destruction that has hold of us. The old Lutheran confession used to say that we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. And that language comes from these writings of Paul. In his talk of freedom, Paul used the common language and imagery of his time with this metaphor of slavery, claiming that all of humanity is in bondage, is held captive, is enslaved by sin, and that any belief that we are free outside of God's grace is delusion. And despite the fact that we have been set free by God's grace, we continue to go back to that which enslaves us, to that which has power over us, again and again. So, what does have power over us? What are we, who live in a free country, held captive to? One of the pastors who writes a weekly devotions for Lutheran Seminary, there's a bunch of them, they all contribute, but one this week referenced the Bob Dylan song, Gotta Serve Somebody, in talking about this Romans passage. Because it's that same idea, this idea that no matter what your social status, your wealth, or your power, any belief in total autonomy and freedom is delusion. As Dylan put it, you're gonna have to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. And Dylan is a folk singer, and like any good folk singer, he strives to be a prophetic voice, calling us out, trying to call out our destructive behaviors and open our eyes to these hard truths, like asking questions of what do we serve? What is it that has power over us? Is it desire for power? Is it fear of failure? Is it a belief that security can be found in our bank account? Is it ego, need to be better than others? Or buying into the world's definition of success or beauty? Do we serve the systems that maintain our privilege at the expense of others? Or our convenience at the expense of the environment? Those are just a few examples of the self-serving freedom that Paul writes about, which is a freedom that just binds us back up into sin. It's a freedom to be selfish, freedom to be self-serving, a freedom to do whatever you want, regardless of how it impacts others. That type of freedom leads to injustice, leads to harm of self, leads to destruction of our planet. That sort of freedom is no freedom at all, because it enslaves us. It harms us. It damages relationships. It damages communities. It destroys. And yet, the freedom that God has given to us, the freedom that God's grace gives to us, is a freedom to no longer have to prove our value or prove our worth. We don't have to prove it or earn it, because it has been given to us by a God who loves us. God has given each of us value and worth. So we no longer have to try and accumulate enough stuff to prove our worth. We no longer have to push others down in order to push ourselves up to a place of value in the world. The freedom that God gives us is a freedom to rest in the knowledge that we are loved, that we are cherished, that our worth and our value has been given to us and cannot be taken away. And so we are set free. We are set free for a life of service. The freedom we are given makes us servants to justice, servants to caring for one another. No longer in bondage to forces of destruction, we are bound instead to God's love. We are bound up to that which sets us free. See why Paul makes my head spin? But living in this type of freedom leads to healing, leads to a sense of fulfillment and purpose in our lives, leads to better relationships with God and with one another. And we don't have to give away our freedom either. We don't have to give it away to fear or to selfishness, to hatred or cruelty, self-righteousness or judging others. When we accept the call on our lives to serve love, to serve justice, to serve kindness and compassion and one another, then we are living into the freedom that we've been given. We're living into the freedom that we've been given, and we get to experience the fullness of life that God offers us. Because in this difficult, I would say, difficult and dense and heavy theological passage by Paul, the good news is that God has set us free. God has given us freedom from sin, from the power of destruction in our lives. Whether that's our own selfish tendencies or corrupt institutions or the brokenness of our communities, however we understand this big force that Paul calls sin, we have been set free from that which destroys us, mind, body, and spirit. We have been set free from that which harms others. Instead, by the grace of God, we have been set free for life, right here, right now, a life with meaning and purpose, a life of deep relationships that involve care and love for one another, a life living into the peace of God, living into the freedom that God has given us, living into the life that God intends for us. Now, this day, and life that lasts forever. Thanks be to God.